Hello and welcome to the Trek This Out podcast, a podcast all about Star Trek, which is quite convenient because I know next to nothing about Star Trek. My name's Kenny Smith. I'm a podcaster who usually does Doctor Who things. I sometimes do things of a Scottish nature, and more often than not, I do the Healthcare Improvement Scotland podcast. Gratuitous plug for my work. But you don't need to know too much about me. I think we really should hear from people who actually know what they're talking about. And we're going to go around my screen and we're going to meet them one by one. We're going to start off with Andrea Davis. Hello, Andrea Davis.
The accidental Trekkie. I got sucked into this world, so I'm not going to claim I know lots, but I usually talk about Easter eggs, so I know Easter's been, but, you know, that's my thing.
I do like Cadbury's ones, I should point out. Also, we're going round clockwise, and it's my pal, it's the wonderful Suki. Hello, Suki.
Hello, Kenny. Thank you for coming on. I'm also an accidental Trekkie because I was pulled onto this show by Bob, and he left me behind when he decided to leave.
Bugger. But he beamed up somewhere else.
We got rid of him. He got sucked into a black hole, and we left him there.
And completing our fantastic quartet, I suppose we're a bit like Kirk, McCoy, and Spock. And I'll be the extra one at the end.
You can be the computer,
Scotty. Scotty. Scotty be appropriate. But we better say hello to Deb Green. Hello, Deb.
Hello. I'm an accidental Trekkie as well because I had loads of friends that were Blake 7 fans and we went on holiday together to some Blake 7 locations and they made me watch Next Generation and I never looked back.
Oh my goodness. I should briefly say my Star Trek experience is very limited. I watched the original series when it was on back in the day, watched bits and bobs of Next Gen, and somehow after the first two series, I'm just like, nope, there's no humour in this. It's not fun. And then after Gene Roddenberry died, I started watching and actually it was a bit more fun. But I have to say, I'm a huge fan of DS9. Rick Berman and Michael Piller, I think, actually made Star Trek good, made it watchable, made it fun. So I've seen all of DS9. I've seen a fair bit of Voyager, but I haven't. And of course, Picard. But I've not seen an episode of Discovery or Below Decks or whatever it's called. I really know very little about them. But I'm sure they're wonderful shows, but I just don't have the time to watch them. Sorry. Please don't kill me.
You've never met Lorca.
No.
So sad.
I know Locutus, but no.
Captain Lorca. It's the reason me and Andrea met.
Yeah, that's why he's stalking her behind with that cardboard cutout behind him.
I have no idea who that is. I'm sure they're very... Is that Jason Isaacs?
Yes!
If you had Jason Isaacs on your bingo card, you may now mark it.
Deputy's
name.
Okay.
I think it's marked off before they even start.
I didn't even know he was a Star Trek person, but there we go. I do now. New fact of the day. Which show's he in, just for my misinformation?
Oh, Discovery. He was Captain Locker. Okay.
Right. Okay. Now I know these things. So I suppose tonight or today or this morning or this afternoon, whenever everybody's listening, we're here to chat about Picard Episode 9, which I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed. Better go around you guys. You're the experts and we can find out if I'm an amateur who has no taste or if I'm in tune with the real fans. So we'll start with you, Deb. What were your thoughts on it initially? Initial thoughts?
Sure died. I couldn't get beyond that. I had to rewatch it all. Captain Shaw died. I was gutted. And I was watching it at 12:30 to avoid the spoilers, which I did avoid the spoilers. And then he died and something else happened. I did rewatch it, but my initial thoughts were bastards. They did this to Lorca, and now they do it to Shaw. What's the point of liking nice, weird captains if they're going to do this?
Oh dear!
So that was my initial thought: bastards.
Bastards. That's it in a word. Okay, Suki, what was your thoughts? I take it you're not going to say the word bastards.
Well, I can't say bastards, if I wanted to.
Wow.
But I'll edit all that later, maybe. But yes.
That's mild. That's mild for Suki.
Yeah, at the moment. I too was a bit gutted that they got rid of one of the my favourite characters of the show. But then we had that whole 10-minute segment right at the end, which was all pure nostalgia for us old Trek next-gen fans. And that was wonderful. But we also had loads of explanation as to what exactly was going on, some of which I have been going on about for the last few episodes, such as Borg. Oh, my God, what are you doing yawning for, Deb? This is more points for me. I'm like, Andrea's pulling her face as well. Dear me, this is not... Kenny, don't start. You don't have to pull a face, neither.
I'm not going to be red shirt today.
I wasn't pulling a face. This is just what I do look like naturally.
Right, yeah, but so... For the episode, my initial thoughts, great episode, but as Deb said, they killed off Captain Shaw. Terrible.
Andrea, did it leave you heartbroken?
It did a little bit, yeah. I had something in my eye briefly, I think. And then I had something in the other eye when they sort of unveiled the next gen bridge. You know, never has carpet made me cry like it did. I've got to say, the whole bastards thing is very Kirk. And when the red door opened, I felt a bit like, oh, it's the Borg. Again, Suki was right, which irritated us, but I got over it very quickly, so it can't be that bad. And I've come to the conclusion that I suppose like Klingons were Kirk's thing and the Borg's Picard thing, and if this is the last time we're going to see that cast, then it really kind of has to be. So, and I can't stand him celebrating. He's really, really enjoying himself. I wanted Paris. I wanted something different, but I'm still happy with what we got, so I can live with it.
For those that are in the lucky position of not having watched Suki dance, then... let me just reassure you.
That's everybody apart from us four.
Pretty horrible.
Okay. Kenny, what did you think? Your initial thoughts?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I watched Picard. I started season one and just thought, I'll give it a go, because Next Gen I thought was all right. I mean, it really picked up from season four, you know, pretty much from Best of Both Worlds, and I've probably seen most episodes from there on. I watched Picard and thought, yep, this is quite entertaining. And then Hugh turned up and thought, yep, this is good. I'm getting this. Season two, enjoyed that again. Maybe not as much season one, maybe sort of didn't quite the same impact to me, but season three has just been bang, 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 bang. And it's been hitting, for somebody who's like a casual Star Trek viewer, it's been hitting the notes that I like. And particularly the end of this episode, it was like, yep, I predicted this would happen in exactly the way that I predicted it would. I have to say, years ago, when Generations was on in the cinema, I went with my pal Bob, and we got hideously drunk beforehand. I think we drank like 5 pints of Guinness in an hour. Not a good idea, kids. Black vomit is not good. And we were there, we're watching the film, and then it got to the point of... where Kirk went down to fix the Enterprise, and I was absolutely bursting for loose. I went and I came back and I missed Kirk's death, in inverted commas, at the start of the film. So that was a bit of a shock for me to find, oh God, I've missed the most important part of the film, almost. But yeah, anyway, yes, I enjoyed it. That's it in a nutshell. Let's go for some deeper thoughts. And Andrea, let's go back with you.
Don't ask me for deep thought. It's not my forte. There's so many callbacks there. I think one of the things that I'm still not entirely clear about is, why are the Borg and the Changelings teaming up? Like, how has this happened? Because, like, Vadik escaped from Daystrom and found the Borg DNA in Picard's body, which was there, but why was she looking for it and how did she find it, which seems kind of strange to me. And then... the Changelings have to introduce it into the transporters, like the Borg couldn't do it. Was it something about because of Janeway? Like, where is Janeway? That's what I want to know. If there's no Janeway next week, I'm going to be really upset. Right? That needs to happen.
She might be.
That will make me question the moot point.
She might be the Borg Queen.
No, I know who the Borg Queen is. The body double for the Borg. It's an actress called Jane Seymour. Actual actress called Jane Seymour. But now, if you watch Prodigy, if this is set the same sort of timeline as Prodigy, then Janeway is not even in the Alpha Quadrant. She's in another quadrant altogether, trying to find Chakotay. So she might not even be in next episode. But as we've been saying, she has been mentioned a few times during this series, this season. So they've got to bring her back, especially since she's so familiar with Star Trek these days, because she keeps coming back to do various things for the franchise. So I'm feeling she will be back. The whole nostalgia thing is what I want to talk about, really. The nostalgia, that last 10 minutes, because most of us were not trying to get sport by. Okay, the Shaw's death was a main thing, was a major factor in this episode. But the nostalgia bit was what everybody was trying to make sure people were not spoiled by. Teddy Metalis was saying it. Todd Stashwick was saying it. We were all saying it on our various Twitter feeds and stuff. Do not spoil the episode for people who are going to watch it. And you could see why they didn't want to spoil it. Because you want to go to this fresh. You want to see without people already telling you, oh, there's a carpet bit, there's the plaques there, the computer is voiced by Majel Barrett Roddenberry. Did you not know that? The actual computer that came on was Majel Barrett Roddenberry's voice from the original series, so they just sampled her voice and used it to work for the computer. Andrea?
I think that's the first time since probably 2009 Star Trek, I think. It's been a long time. And it did kind of, I noticed it because they've kind of changed that voice, haven't they? And that's not been consistent in sort of newer Star Trek. So that was definitely a big throwback for me. As I say, Bridge Carpet. The Next Generation always looked like some kind of like Marriott Hotel, and it still does. And that, like, it just looked so like late 80s, like, it really is of its time, and I'm so glad they just brought it back as is. But they kind of teased what was in Hangar 12, and I really did not think it was going to be the Enterprise D, considering it crashed. You know, Geordi's doing his little sort of putting it back together thing. And I did see someone on Twitter actually refer to the Enterprise D as Trigger's Broom, which is a reference that you're only going to get if you're British and of a certain age.
Yep.
But it is a thing that has been put back together from so many different parts that it's no longer the thing it was in the first place. So I'm sorry if you've never seen Only Fools and Horses, that means nothing. But thank you. I think it was Malcolm Wood on Twitter pointed me to that one, and I quite liked it. So
yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's Geordi's nostalgia, isn't it? You know, the Enterprise D did change a bit, but this is the Enterprise it as Geordi remembers and loves. So it would have Major Barrett's voice, because this was the important time that he chose to rebuild it to. I read on Twitter was about they come out of a space dock, which is a beautiful sight, and all the lights are on. And there's only a handful of people on the bridge, so why are all the lights on? And, you know, we're quite conscious about that. Turn the lights on as you come out of the room at the moment. And somebody suggested that there was going to be a surprise cleaner with their Hoover just going along who turned all the lights on. You go, what the fuck's happened here? But we did say about the Borg Queen a minute ago, why we haven't seen her face yet is because of the virus. I just was re-watching the Voyager episode where, I fast-forwarded most of it, so I still don't understand it, where Janeway put the virus in, and apparently she's really going to be much of a rotting corpse. And that's what Terry...
Metalis.
Yeah, I need...
You were doing so good last week as well.
I know. I'll write it down. Metalis was saying, but that also reminded me when you were mentioning Guinness, and please skip the next 2 minutes if you're squeamish. Guinness is also brilliant. I came back from India with a worm in my intestines, and 4 pints of Guinness really does shift intestinal worms.
Excellent.
And that reminded me of the Borg Queen as we've seen her at the moment, which is the back of her face, apparently.
Because I was actually quite surprised when you guys were mentioning sort of, oh no, it's the Borg. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, as the casual viewer, it's like the Daleks are in it, yay. And for me, it's like the Borg are in it, yay. And that's, I noticed that Deb has a Dalek t-shirt, a 21st century bronze Dalek. And I'm quite excited. I love the Borg. I sort of with the fact that I don't watch Star Trek all the time. And it's like, oh, there we go. There's a wee thrill for me there. And the fact that with this plot and the fact there is a lingering effect from Locutus and Best of Both Worlds. And I quite like that. It's sort of like long-term consequences of the drama. But I completely get that thrill for going onto the bridge of the Enterprise again, and then just the lights coming on, just thinking, yeah, this is great, carpet and all. Picard looking at the badge. Although I still thought it'd been quite funny if it'd been a bit of like a vine or a leaf or something like that lying around from where it had crashed in Generations, but it made me laugh. Although I do have to ask, do we know what happened to Enterprise E? And I didn't even know there was an Enterprise F.
No, I think it was a joke. Unless somebody else has got anything on that, is Terry Metalis said that he just wanted fans to riff with it, really. Or no, that maybe it will be comics or something trying to explain the gap in the story. But it was funny. That was all.
It did make me laugh.
I was just going to say, obviously, like sort of Worf captained the Enterprise after Nemesis at some point, so I think it was just a way to sort of get a little snidey dig in at Worf because he's clearly done something to it. But I quite like the Captain Picard accepting his field demotion because I feel like everyone's called him Captain all season anyway. But it also, I think, you know, any sort of excuse to get an original sort of movie reference in, it all feels like very Kirk kind of movies. He never really wanted to be an admiral. He just wanted to be captain of the Enterprise. They're stealing the Enterprise. It was like, it was ticking a lot of boxes for me from a sort of the bits of Star Trek that I really like. I'm sure I'll get a Wrath of Khan reference in at some point. It'll be there.
It'll be Borg!
Oh, yeah. Just going back to that carpet bit, why? I'm just wondering why he missed the carpet so much. I've just got it to the back of my head now that he's maybe just sat in the carpet in the captain's chair with his shoes off and just putting his rubbing his feet in the carpet. This is so nice. Go on, Andrew.
It's a lot comfier place to work, though, isn't it? When you look at that Titan bridge, that is not a comfortable place to spend an 8-hour shift, is it? It's pretty stark and cool. Whereas that was all cool, wasn't it? That like kind of. Yeah, like late 80s, early 90s kind of hotel feel to it. Like, it was much more cosy. If you're going to be on a 5-year mission, like, why not be comfy? Have fluffy carpets.
That said, actually today was the first time I've walked around the house in ages with just my bare feet rather than having socks on because it's Scotland, so therefore it's going to be quite cold. But I've been walking about today in my bare feet and actually commented upon this earlier to my daughter just to say, oh, I quite like walking in bare carpet again. It's a nice feeling. So yeah, I completely get, and funnily enough, that was what went through my head was Enterprise D. So yeah, I've had carpet a lot on my mind these days.
It's been a fan debate as well about why it is all the newer starships don't have carpet, although one of the guys on the show said that line actually predated a lot of the stuff on social media, and that they had to read all the moaning about starships these days don't have carpets and you should have a carpet, well, not being able to say that this line already existed. So again, it's a fan joke.
Right, my theory now, I mean, I'm just thinking about it on the floor here, but the reason the carpets came in because all the previous ships were always, hadn't got really good stabilizers, so you were always falling over, and so you was hurting yourself on the hard floors. And then for Enterprise D, when it came, they put carpets in, so when they, because the ground flying, they hit soft carpet, lovely, no shattered bones, it's just a bit of a soft one. And now when they've got better stabilisers, so they're not buffered, battered around a bit on later ships, they took out all the carpets because they know they're going to get flying about. But of course, we watch these episodes, and you do see them flying all over the place. So yeah, maybe they should put the carpets back in.
Then, or it might just have been in Galaxy Class ships.
Okay, that's going to ruin my... or theories, Kenny, please.
I was kind of hoping they'd go one sort of fan joke more, and Geordie would have built it with airbags and seatbelts.
remember we've been going on about for previous episodes where they've only sort of been on a few sets for the last 8 episodes, and then on this 9th one they've really introduced this new set. And from what I've been reading on the back, in the back for this, the building of this set, it's been very expensive to get all the right material, get all the right stuff in place, get the spec right. And it, this is exactly the same set as they used to use in the next gen, and they built it to spec. So it's been a very expensive set to build. So a lot of the money might have just gone on to building this set. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next episode, which I think is just going to be a big load of CGI battles in space and stuff. But for this episode, a lot of the money has been spent just on that set.
Well, I hope it stays, because well, I hope we have conventions in the UK. They used to cart the chair and then use well, you could have a green screen at conventions of the sub. It would be lovely if we could go and visit that at some point. But I kind of noticed when they wandered onto the set, everybody went to their positions. I love Data as well. Hello, chair. And then he realised what he was doing, just getting used to his motions. But Riker went and wandered off to the left and sort of peered down the side. And it was kind of odd. I mean, I don't know if it was the ready room. I just thought, well, he's an old man now. He's checking the toilets are still there.
I just enjoyed that whole scene, just to have a look around and the familiarity. But I do wonder, do many of the elements of the original set exist? Because I'm sure that the original captain's chair came to Edinburgh for an exhibition around 95. 96, because I remember noting it was a captain's chair and it had cigarette burns or something had been stubbed out on it. But that was my, and also that I'm sure there was the Voyager captain's chair and my friend went up and sniffed it, but probably that bit shouldn't go into the episode, but he's gay, so that was probably allowed.
They said that everything was new apart from the plaque, and that was original. Andrea, do you want to say the story about the Discovery train chair again?
Oh, I feel like I've probably told this story in the podcast before, but I did nearly break the Discovery captain's chair at a convention, so I don't have a good track record. So if they do bring, like, the Enterprise captain's chair, I should probably just stay away from it. Although I probably wouldn't be trying to climb on anyone's knee at that point, which is how I nearly broke it. So that's the thing. I'm sure regular listeners are probably aware of my that one time I nearly smashed the Discovery captain's chair. What I was going to say is, I think it's worth talking about the I feel like they've kind of pitted, like, Gen Z against, like, the boomers. The under 25s will all become, they're all so susceptible to influence, they're going to become like the Borg. But, like, that means that, like, the only people who can save us is, well, I've written the people who can save us are the oldies, and then I've written, shit, that's people who are over 25. Like, but it did seem interesting that they've gone for, I know they've got this kind of split, haven't they, between sort of Geordie's kids and that, those sort of younger members of the cast. And then you've got that kind of that core who've come from Next Generation who are much older. And they've almost played on that. And I think there is a little bit of that riffing on sort of the sort of Instagram generation who are used to influencers and are probably much easier to mould. And I think there's a little bit of that in there. And I think it's also a little bit of bit of fun, which means that, like, you're sort of core caster and not going to be sucked in by the Borg, so that means they're safe, which is a handy little plot device. But I did think it was interesting that they went for the under 25s.
Okay, going back to that, remember a couple of episodes, was it last week's episode, where Vadik killed the Vulcan instead of Esma? Right, now I only thought about it when this episode happened and all the under 25s were assimilated. Esma is under 25, whereas the Vulcan would probably have been well over, because the Vulcans are age differently to a human. So I'm just thinking the Vulcan, she realised the Vulcan was older, was expendable, whereas Esma would have been a Borg assimilant, right, for the next episode. So I'm just thinking that might have been why she was saved and not the Tiana, not the tear that rolled down her cheek, but the fact that she's a young crew member.
I just wanted to point out that I wrote that down and I thought about that immediately. So Suki definitely doesn't get a point.
Yeah, but I said it first on the podcast, so I get the point.
I've got it written down.
I don't care.
Please.
Yes, miss.
Yeah. Sorry, miss.
I'm going back to work tomorrow. I'm starting to
get We're just getting you into practice here.
Yeah.
Oh, are you a teacher?
I am. I am the deputy head of a special school, so.
Oh, brilliant. I'm not messing with you then.
Nobody messes authoritarians with Andrew on the podcast.
Yeah, authoritarians. Oh my God, she's now drinking a can of, looks like Tennent Super Lager. Oh my God, everybody be afraid, be very afraid.
Kestrel soup strength, please.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Bit of quality there. Bit of quality. Yeah.
The only thing I want to go about that bridge crew, the bridge scene at the end, one more thing, is the fact of Picard's voice. Have you noticed how he's been sort of been playing it? Is a whispery, sort of gravelly old man voice all the way through this, some of this episode, but most of this season. He just looks frail, and it just the way he spoke. And then right at the end, when he took the captain's demotion, and he decided, he sat down in the chair, did his little Picard manoeuvre, and then went, engage. His voice just went up into, I think, an authoritative sort of voice. So I think he's just getting his mojo back right at the end of this episode.
I just think there's just been such a real buzz about getting the crew back together. I mean, I was always disappointed we didn't get more films with the Next Generation crew. And to be honest, this has really sort of made up for it. We've got pretty much this season, we've got, 9-10 mini movies all in their own right. I think each episode's been so strong. Great characters. They've looked great. And it's just moved along at a pace that I've really enjoyed. Sort of everything's got its drama. It's got good character development, it's got emotional stuff, and I'm really, really sort of thinking, yeah, I just wish they'd made a few more movies in the interim years as well, just to sort of bounce us along a wee bit.
Yeah, I'm just worried that, I was a big Game of Thrones fan, and if you're too psyched up for something, you can never win. And I worry because it's been so good and because now we're so prepared for a fantastic finale that whatever they do now is going to be disappointing. And that's not their fault, because I don't actually think Game of Thrones finale was that bad. I mean, it went weird well before then, but it wasn't bad. So I guess what I'm saying is I think we need to remember that this is a series as a whole. And it will never be what we all want it to be. So let's just enjoy it.
Are you expecting then, when we finally see the face of the Borg Queen, we find out that it's actually Wesley Crusher sitting on the throne?
Anne Widdecombe.
I was expecting it to be some sort of a thing with Anne Wershing. Right, if they were going to bring the Borg back again, they were going to bring back Anne Wershing. But unfortunately, she died at the beginning of this year. All right, but I'm still hoping that there'll be some sort of way to incorporate that actress into this role. But when they announced Alice Krieg as the voice of the Borg Queen, again, coming back from the movies, I just thought, okay, they ain't going to do anything with Anne Wershing, which is a shame, but because she was quite a good actress in the role. But yeah, I was hoping for something to do with Anne Wershing.
So what's everyone's thoughts on the revelation that it's the Borg who've been working with those dastardly changelings from Deep Space Nine?
I don't think it is the Borg.
I was delighted.
I don't think it is the Borg.
One episode to go and you still don't think it's a Borg, the Borg Queen's in play, Jack has been assimilated.
I'm in denial.
Oh, you're in denial, okay.
I'm in denial because you're too smug.
So I think, to me, that Borg cube, I've written the Borg cube looks like a shit tip. I don't think they're in a good sort of space here. I don't think that the Borg particularly well. I kind of thought maybe they need that cleaner who's going around the Enterprise D at the moment. Or, maybe it's like they've just brought SpaceX in to give them a brush and mop. But clearly this is not the Borg at any sort of full strength, is it? They're like, they're hiding out They're not very healthy. So they're a very, very weakened Borg, which I think has probably forced them to find some allies. What I don't understand is why didn't they assimilate the changeling?
Maybe they couldn't. Maybe there was still something within. I mean, they can do triples, can't they? Yeah, too gloopy. But, I mean, it's also about Jack's Borg name. Regenerati was what she thought of. And also Terry Metalis has said about why we haven't seen the face of the Borg yet. And what we have seen is just revolting, you know. I think, yeah, she's a rotting corpse, and I don't think they can get off the ship. That's why they needed the changelings. That's why they need Jack. Jack is the future of the Borg for them. He is the regeneration. And now he is Vox, the voice. Sorry, he's not the Borg, but, you know, he's whatever it is apart from the Borg, if Suki's listening.
Yeah. I am. What I was going to say was, I agree with Andrea that they are really in a state of disrepair, and they've just been sort of meandering maybe the past 30-odd years. But there was one scene that really stood out with that Borg cube. Was initially when Deanna opened the door, you could see, but it just didn't look right. Maybe because it just didn't have some sort of perspective there to be able to balance it against. But then when you had Jack come up to it in his shuttle and he saw it through his view screen, and the way it looked through that view screen, I just thought it looked really, really striking, magnificent, fantastic looking. But with all the clouds in the way, maybe Andrea's right, it is in a, it's sort of really sort of knackered, really, if you went up close. Well, when you initially come up against it, when Jack comes up against it, like, it just looks really wonderful.
So I think one of the things that they mentioned, sort of, no one had seen or heard from the Borg in 10 years, and I thought, well, they were in season 2. And then I thought, actually, that sort of Jurati Borg was an alternative timeline, so the people wouldn't be aware that had even happened, I don't think. And so that kind of makes sense, that they're completely unrelated. But also it's just that callback to season 1, I think, because there's the Borg cube, like, I think they call it the artifact, which just kind of goes off and, like, dies, and nobody really knows why it's gone off. So I'm wondering if they're just going to have a little callback and kind of pull that storyline together a little bit, because I don't think they ever really explained that. It just kind of, it went off, didn't it? So I wonder if they're kind of going to pull the 3 seasons of Picard together a little bit.
They could bring you back in play, as you said, because it's quite close by, isn't it? Right, and you've still got Borg drones still on it, working away. Right, all it needs is probably they find out the on switch, or the Borg Queen sends an on switch, and then probably have under 25s working on that Borg cube as well. So all they need is them to be switched on, and next thing you know, you've got a second Borg cube heading towards Earth.
I work with young care leavers, and you get less universal credit if you're under 25. So I think that it's all to do with cheap work rates, less minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with the frontal lobe and stuff like that, whatever they were saying.
No, they're just cheaper.
I don't think the Borg pay very much. They don't look like they would, given that half of them are falling apart. So I think they're probably just, they're scavenging and using what they find around. So, yeah, I think it'd be less than minimum wage.
A bit like our government, then.
You try being in Scotland.
it's going to be Priti Patel, isn't it? The Borg Queen.
Okay, let's carry on before we get too political.
Oh, yeah, heaven forbid Star Trek is political.
Final thoughts?
Yes, so the picture from the end credits, we now know what that is, the receiver and the transmitter. And also the shape of the straw that on 10 Forward many episodes ago. So I just want to say, Suki, I was right about that.
Okay, so add that one point to the other point you had a couple of weeks ago, making it 2 points.
No, you took that one. Oh, yes, no, it's 2 points, yeah. And there's my bit about why they killed the Vulcan. The swivel chairs. The whole point of the swivel chairs was so that when they became assimilated, they could all swivel around in a very dramatic fashion. and it was well worth it. Also, the ships. I wrote down all the names of the ships in case it became relevant. Well, all the ones we could see, which included, well, they talked about USS Pulaski. But there was also a USS Luna, which apparently is Terry Metalis' dog, which I think is lovely. And I don't know who, or Cochrane as well, Trumbull.
I wrote down all 32 names that I could see off the screen.
No, yeah. I haven't got that many.
Right.
That's dedication. Go on, run through them, because I'd like to know these, please.
If you want to know quickly, then, you had Resnick, Trumbull, Mandel, Galgamesh, Akuda, Sutherland, Ganymede, Callisto, Venture, Drexler, Akira, Huygens, Intrepid, Oberon, Appalachia, Reliant, Forrest, Clark, John Kelly, Helios, Ross, Magellan, Firesword, Excelsior, Tarango, Thunderchild, Gagari, Zhongji, Playhatham, Al-Hatham, I should say, Hikaru Sulu, Cochrane, Luna, and I don't think I'm, there are probably others that I've missed out.
Yeah, Fireswood, have you got Fireswood?
Yeah, I had Fireswood.
Sutherland and Akuda.
Yeah, I've got them.
All right.
That's impressive. Mm. Well done. Although, do you know what I've noticed? Is it only the Enterprise that's got an alphabetical suffix? Are there any other instances of, like, other craft that have been given, like, a something A or a something B? Or is it just the Enterprise that gets that treatment?
I'm sure the Excelsior must have done. And it's not the first Titan, but, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
just called Titan. They do have. Yeah, they do have.
They're on Titan. The Titan A, aren't they? I was just going to say, since the Reliance there, there's my Wrath of Khan reference for the week.
I wanted to say about Data's bits, because I love Data. And how moving, I said, would you like to be me to say something comforting? And he said, I don't think that's going to be possible. He just put his hand on his shoulder, on Picard's shoulder. And also, LaForge, can you be more positive, Data? I hope we die quickly, grin on his face. And Data, the shuttles are anonymous, 7 of 9. The robot's right. And Data's face, apparently that came up in Russell, so that wasn't originally scripted. Beverly, about Jack, he may be Borg, but that's not all he is. Well, it probably is now. I wonder whether the voice, because the voice of the Borg was male, wasn't it? Whether that is now Jack. And the Queen, for all my darkness, you are light. For all my suffering, you are life. So I think she's well fucked. to put it in a technical term. And then just Shaw. I mean, if you want, you know, it was a very fitting death in that he was the number 10 on the Constance. He was rescued. He's got a sort of survivor's guilt. And now he's the one that risks his life saving the others so that they can escape. I thought it was a bit cheesy. You have the concept of 9, because we were expecting him at some point to say 7 of 9 or Commander 7. And at that moment, I'm glad he said it, but even so. But he will be back. Whether he's, I'm convinced that he'll be back. Plus, he said he's in the next episode, so that's a bit of a giveaway. So whether he is turned into a Borg, I don't know, and whether he ends up the same as 7 of 9 at the end of this. But I'm sure we've not seen the end of Shaw. Another thing which Todd Schlashlik said, he said on somebody said that the only way that Shaw could be captain of a ship is if he's got relatives who are senior in Starfleet, and he said, oh yes, Shaw is definitely a nepo baby. In no way would he have got to be captain without a few contacts, which I think is very unfair.
That looked like a final death scene to me. For sure. I can't see him coming back from being blasted away. And actually, he's lying there, eyes open. That's a proper death.
He's dead, but he's coming back.
I don't understand how he can be in the following episode, unless the pair of them, Raffi and Seven, are dragging his body around all over the place. Like a weekend of Bernie stuff. You know, but I can't see that happening.
Are you prepared, how many points are you prepared to bet on it?
what, that he's going to be playing just a dead body for the next episode.
He doesn't I'll come
bet
back.
That, I'll bet that he'll be just be a dead body for the next episode. Weekend Bernie's. They'll have to stick a hat on him, put some glasses on, sit him in the captain's chair, do an answer to him.
I'm going to guess that Seven does something and does some Borgy sort of stuff and sort of gives him some Borg implants and saves his life that way.
Okay, maybe I'll change my bet. I don't want to take that bet no more.
Kenny's nanoprobes. Gone. She's done it before. Andrea probably knows more about that.
Why me?
Because you've watched more Star Trek recently. Apparently she resurrected somebody that was dead using Borg nanoprobes.
Okay. I'll change my mind. I don't want to put that bet on. I don't want to lose any more.
No. It's too late now. We heard it.
She's been one of my real highlights. I love Seven. Or I see Annika Janssen. It seems that it's such a great name. It totally suits her. So when they picked it, it just sort of absolutely. She looks like that could be a real name, but I think she's great. I've really loved Seven. One of my favorite characters in Voyager. In one of my old jobs, I'd found out that three of my colleagues were all big fans of Voyager. And everybody was assigned a personality. And we gave Will, our most junior reporter in the office, Neelix. And it's because Neelix is a prick, quite frankly. And Will was quite annoying in those days. But he's not so now. He's a good guy.
Did you have two, Vicks?
Andrea.
I was just going to say, Naomi Wildman, if like you really want to bring in a low blow.
Oh, don't go and say that in front of John. John used to love Naomi.
I know.
One of our former co-hosts really used to love Naomi Wilde. Couldn't hear a bad word against her. And Andrew, well,
for some reason, I get given the doctor.
Well, for some reason,
my hairstyle.
What it is, not the t-shirts that you wear.
So Jack makes reference to visiting the Crimson Arboretum. Which kind of fits in with the red vines and things, but it also kind of references back to a planet that was seen in season two, where there were lots of Deltons, who were, of course, you'll know from the motion picture. So there's just a little callback there. Lots of spaceshipy Easter eggs. I think we've mentioned most of them. I've written down USS Pulaski, justice for Pulaski. Yes. I've got on this bandwagon recently, I feel like she was very much badly done to, so I was quite pleased to see that there. The only thing is, if you get a ship named after you, does that mean you're dead? Do living people get ships named after them? So I don't know, we don't know her fate, but it kind of looks like she's dead. Admiral Shelby is a callback to Best of Both Worlds. She was kind of brought in as the Borg expert. And I think there was a comment about they were surprised she would do something so Borg as to link all the ships together. So that was a nice little, and there was quite a lot of just little bits kind of feeding back to Best of Both Worlds. And First Contact as well, because Picard talks about being able to hear the Borg. And I don't know if that's going to come into play, because at the start of First Contact, he tells Troy that he can still hear them. And the name of the episode, Vox, means voice. So I'm guessing that potentially my prediction is going to be around Picard maybe being able to tap into to hear what they're doing, or I have to sort of put myself in a position where he might well become Locutus again to save his son. I think they're definitely going to play on that one. I think he's definitely going to have to potentially make some sort of sacrifice to sort of get Jack out of the ship. Not lots of Easter eggs, because I think they kind of hit us over the hammer with the references and callbacks this week, so I haven't got many. They talked about retrieving the saucer from Viridian 3, which kind of explains how come they've got Kirk's body in Daystrom. So at least we know why they've got that now. That kind of makes sense that they would pick that up while they were in the area. I would like Shaw to come back to life, please. There's kind of, as a long shot, does someone go and steal the Genesis device from Daystrom? And he can have a Spock-style resurrection. So that's the, like, 100-to-1 out shot. So if anyone wants to take that bet, that is on the table.
Sorry, I Googled Seven resurrected Neelix in the episode Mortal Coil, Season 4, Episode 12, where she claimed that Borg nanobots can resurrect drones up to 72 hours after death. Cross fingers, yeah, we're all crossing fingers here.
who suggested it first. I'd like that to be noted. Thank you very much. The guy who knows naff all about Star Trek.
I feel like it's unfortunate that Neelix is resurrected, but, you know, I have personally...
I agree.
I have no warm feelings towards Neelix, I've got to say. Especially when you found out his girlfriend was like two. That was him dead to me, so...
Okay, so I'd like to award Kenny 3 points, and I'd like to award Andrea 3 points for their contribution, just so they can have one extra point more than Deb.
You've given some thoughts there on what you think is going to happen. I think that at the end of the episode, Picard will be dead. I think that at least one other of the crew will be dead. Enterprise D will somehow find itself back in commission as some sort of ambassadorial vessel or something like that. To be used by Starfleet, and I think that the Borg will be destroyed once and for all.
That's brave predictions.
Yes, very brave. Now I'm going to just, you know, next week, if none of that comes true, you lose all 3 points.
Right. I'll take that. Bring it on. Bring it on.
All 3 points will be gone, and you will be, you know, lower than Deb in the rank. Just letting you know. All right, so, Andrea.
When did we introduce this point system?
When I was winning.
Arbitrary. Like, if there's an award system, I want to know the structure.
But when I was winning, that's when we introduced it. When I lose, we'll just get rid of the whole thing. That's the way it works. I'll just do my little final thoughts here. The Deanna, right at the beginning, when she's trying to talk to Jack, and she digs into his mind, and then she's suddenly scared away. I thought that was some great acting by Marina Sirtis, actually getting something to do for the first time in ages, basically. And I thought that was great. The transceivers and responders, the whole explanation as to why they wanted Jack and why they wanted Picard's body, it all sort of makes sense. And we did say a couple of episodes ago as well, why weren't they using transporters? And this is one of the reasons why they might not have been using transporters, was the changes didn't want to go around. Using the system, so that sort of highlights whatever's going on with the code within the system. That might be why they weren't using the transporters. But the whole thing, when everything was sort of explained, what the hell was going on? I thought it was actually quite a good storyline, right? It explained everything. The fact that Picard has had this Itomotic syndrome-like virus or Borg code in his body ever since he was Locutus, and now he's passed that on to every single person that goes into the transporter, so that all the young people can be assimilated. It's just a scary idea and a fantastic idea, and I can see why they went this way. The fact that they also use, I do think Borg will be the main bad, has been the main bad of the season, and I'm quite happy that they have been the main bad, because this is what most people wanted from this season altogether, was they wanted the nostalgia. If you're going to bring all seven main characters back from Next Gen and have them to be together to do this, that it's basically to have to go through their greatest hits, and their greatest hits has always been included the Borg. So to have them Borg as the main bad for the season, right? I just think really good, great. Kenny, have you got any final things to say?
I have to say that it's just been an absolute blast, this series. It really has. It's pleased me as a casual viewer, as I said. It's pleased me as somebody who enjoys sci-fi. But it's the fact that there's a good sense of humour in there that perhaps you didn't always get in, particularly in early Next Gen. Good bit of fucking swearing as well here and there as well, which I've quite enjoyed. It makes it, just gives it a little bit more of a real life edge that perhaps wasn't there before. And I just think that, I mean, we've got the fact we've got all these reference to the cutest of Borg. We've got Seven of Nine, who is the cutest of Borg. So, yeah, it's absolutely ticking all my boxes. And it's a shame that it's coming to an end. And I don't know what time these episodes drop, because I usually just watch them the evening after they're available. But I am sorely tempted to stay up. Oh, Suki's going to tell me now.
No, well, they do drop on a Thursday for us. So we get Thursday. To watch them Wednesday, Thursday. I can't remember. One of the days.
Friday midnight. Thursday, well, you night. Seem to get it early last time, yeah, but I don't know how.
Yeah, they drop early in America, don't they?
Uh-huh. You fly over. Sorry.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's Concorde. Awesome to appear over there, you know, in my little Concorde. But yeah, they drop early. So that's. But what they're doing for this final episode is that in select cities in America, they will get a chance to see this on the Wednesday. So you'll have both episodes 9 and 10, plus some more added footage, extra content that you'll be able to view on the cinema screens in about 10 or 11 cities in America. So there will be spoilers coming on screen, online, probably from Wednesday onwards.
Thank you for the warning. I will definitely be avoiding that. I'll put a little temporary block on Star Trek, hashtag Picard, everything like that, so I don't get spoiled, because I really am looking forward to it in a way that I've not looked forward to a series finale of anything since, crikey, some of the old Doctor Who's. When I say old, as in the Russell T. Davis stuff, so that shows how much I've enjoyed it. I have genuinely been hooked. I mean, I hadn't watched any of the series until a week past on Tuesday, and I've been watching pretty much an episode a night, and it's just been great. Spend time with people who's come, you know, characters who I've liked in the past. I have to say, I'm growing to love, so it's not a bad thing.
As soon as you came online with your comments of I'm up to Picard, I thought, I'm having Kenny on the podcast. All right, so this is why I haven't actually announced you to everybody online that we got you for the podcast, just in case you couldn't make it because we're all the scheduling that we've had today.
That's very kind of you. Well, I've been delighted to do it because it's something that I've thoroughly enjoyed. And unfortunately, I've been out most of today and didn't really get back home till about 7:30. So this is really there. I just could go on just to get sorted.
Hold on. 7:30, you got on and you made us wait till 8:30. You know, you're going past that. Yeah, you get home here.
I know. Well, you never made my daughter's packed lunch either of you. So somebody had to do it.
Katie is old enough to make her own packed lunch, I assume.
Oh, yeah, that's technically true, but she's too lazy to do it. If she did it herself, it would just be like a bag of crisps and that would be it.
It's not bad.
Hashtag turd. So, is this the point now where we say lights out of 5?
How many lights you see?
Four lights!
I asked how many lights you see.
Let's go with Andrea first because she's looking exhausted.
I'm going to go 4.5. I think this has been really strong episodes in the season, and I think this one, I think we're kind of getting there, and I hope the finale can kind of top that. I don't know if it can, but I'm happy with 4.5.
Deb?
Yeah, it would have been 5, but Shaw died, so 4.5.
Suki?
Yes, I have given a 5 in the past, and this was close to perfection just for the last 10 minutes. But the fact that Shaw died, and I am actually going to knock off half a point as well. So it's 4.5. Kenny, what's your rating?
Well, given that I don't have the horn for Shaw, I'm going to give it 5 out of 5, because if they'd bumped off 7, it'd have been like a 1 out of 5. But no, it's absolutely 5 out of 5 from me, and absolutely loved it. It's just great. I mean, and do you know what? I'll actually be rewatching before the finale just to get into that, just that buzz again. Even I know what's coming this time, so it's not that I can watch it be slightly more relaxed rather than just the intense concentration that I found that I've been giving it, because I started episode 1 sort of like watching it, occasionally check my Twitter, and by the end of it it's like phone is away, and every episode since is like nope, no phone, just Picard.
Nice.
Listen up.
Well, we've done our thoughts on it. Let's have a quick look through and see what's been happening in the electronic mailbag. So I'm going to stick my hand into the sack, have a quick rummage around and see what I can pull out. And careful, it's one from careful. Tom Turlough. What? Are you implying there was some sort of innuendo in there?
Well, this is our podcast. I know what these ladies are like.
Well, I know. Tom Turlough has written to us. And sorry, on you go.
No, it's just I'm learning more and more about Suki's dirty mind, so it's not about us at all.
Well, it's an interesting place I have heard around the console, and Suki is by far the most polite, intelligent, and cultured of the five of them. So he owes me a fiver for that as well. So there we go. Right, let's have a look at the... Take it by PayPal. I'm 21st century. Right, let's have a look. Tom Turlough says, so, it was the Borg again. Ho-hum. To be fair, are the one really good villain from the Next Generation, even if they're a Cybermen ripoff. But they have perhaps been a bit overused. Still, at least we know the entire plan now, and we know where we're heading next week. I was sorry to see Shaw killed off. He was an entertaining character, but I suppose... we needed a semi-major death to add some stakes to the proceedings. I had previously been a little sceptical about all the fan service we were getting, but this week I've decided to just let it flow over me. The last 5 minutes were unbelievably corny and sentimental, and, it could be argued, incredibly calculating, but I loved it nonetheless. This is Star Trek. We always need there to be an Enterprise. This episode, we had two. There's a lot to resolve next week, and I hope all the gang survive. Hopefully, we'll get the climax this mostly enjoyable series deserves. For the pure unashamed fan wank of it all, I'll give it 5 lights out of 5. My head said it doesn't deserve it, but the 11-year-old boy in me that first watched TNG nearly 40 years ago says, what the hell?
And Jack McMorrow, firstly, I avoided spoilers, and then some jerk puts a shot of the CGI Enterprise D on YouTube. I need revenge. Worf, what the hell happened to my favourite Enterprise? It seems everyone but us knows. It can't be that bad if he's still in Starfleet. Definitely didn't destroy the flagship. Despite all this, and the characters clearly knowing more than we do, this cast clearly haven't missed a beat and just do unspoken humour so, so well. Line of the week has to go to the deadpan Brent Spiner delivers a, I hope we die quickly. The return of Elizabeth Dennehy as Elizabeth Shelby was very welcome, and seeing her command the Odyssey class Enterprise F not only tracks, but also does not just seem like fan service. Although, as Picard says, it is very ironic that she has spearheaded a very Borg and Cylon-like program. By the way, I'm not sold she's really dead. Speaking of deaths, a lot of credit for this episode has to go to Todd Stashwick. Captain Shaw went from a very hated Jobsworth in his introduction just 8 episodes ago to one who will be genuinely missed going forward. Credit as establishing a new character in the final season amongst an established cast has been done before. They are few and far between. When he called her 7 of 9 just before passing on, I was on the verge of crying. Speaking of crying, I wasn't too sure this Borg Queen wasn't played by Annie Wershing posthumously, especially as we never saw the Queen's face, an ADR of Anne existing. I wouldn't bet against it. Hell, on 24, her character interacted extensively with Jack Bauer, and the chances of a digital fire of her saying Jack is roughly 1 to 1. Meh. I've since found out the role was played by Alex Krige. That's not right, is it?
Alex Krige, yeah.
Reprising her role from First Contact and Voyager, a fine performance. Then somehow everyone behind this juggernaut of a show managed not to... the spoiler, the big reveal, the show brings the big D. It's in Hangar 12, another 12 Monkeys reference. wonderful surprise, and I think next week we'll see it better. But like, I hope many, I was also ecstatically pouring over the bridge set. It's just one thing, but it being replicated down to the carpet is something towards how I hear season 3 summed up. The next generation 8 we always wanted. Major Barrett Roddenberry gives us a great posthumous cameo as the computer of the Enterprise D, and he was extraordinarily welcome. She's now been in TOS, the TAS. What was TAS?
The animated series.
Oh, yeah. Next Generation, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise, 2009, and now Picard. She's the absolute symbol of Star Trek. Overall, I give Vox a hearty 4.9 faceless ball queens. Not quite perfect, but it is within shouting distance of it. In fact, I brought it up on Paramount Plus when it was uploaded, and then when it ended at 1:40 a.m., I just started it again. Thanks, Jack. See you next week.
Our next bit of feedback is a bit of a Twitter exchange that we had online, and this is from Thief. Honestly, pretty terrible. Like Game of Thrones, ending terrible. I am being completely serious here and honestly don't know if I care about the finale. We did ask somebody come back to them, Stephen G. Busher, and they said Game of Thrones came to mind for me too, and there we did have to deal with endless, oh look, the thing from episode 73. Yay! Also, has Picard completely forgotten Laris? Faith came back. For me, the fact the entire last season was given over to resolving this plotline, but nope, here it is again somehow. Obviously, season 3 hasn't been written, but I wouldn't expect that's something you'd tell new, it says allies about, but I think that's writers. I think they're all talking about it. Both of them were talking about the robotic syndrome when they resolved it in season 2, but then it came back again in season 3. Kenny.
Oh, Faith, calm down, please. It's good fun. Just chill pill, mate, chill pill. I've got one here from Cats, even more C. It's got C and then three dots. I wonder what's C. No,
it's just dot. Blue cat.
Ah. Okay, well, there we go. Hello there. And Cat writes, as you may guess, I was quite offended by them killing off Shaw. I love Shaw. I love him. Love him. I was so sorry they killed this character who was growing so much. I was hoping to see him and Seven respecting each other, yet still awkwardly rubbing along together as CO and XO. Shit. As I tweeted at Jason Isaacs and Todd Stashwick today, beware of being a dramatically interesting Starfleet captain. Yep. Deanna finally walked through that door. So Jack is a Borg baby. Who didn't get this like 7 weeks ago? I didn't. That was me commenting there, not in the letter. A boring idea. Yet, it ties up
Suki
Picard.
Suki did. He's just pointing to himself.
Oh, I was reading the letter.
I can't help being smart. It tell you.
Oh, dear. Well, Kat says, a boring idea, yet it ties up Picard's significant life events, completing his arc. I predict our dear old Picard will pass on while sacrificing himself for the greater good. Very good character moments between Picard and Jack, beautifully acted. And I like Picard's respect to Beverly about how the best in Jack came from her. The nostalgia, it was very strong with this episode. Let me get this straight. They're in a bloody great hurry, aren't they? Yet, they take time off to look around the Enterprise D's bridge as if it's old home week. I'm sure some fans are just dying with happiness. I was happy to see the old girl again, but the nostalgia is getting a bit heavy. Did Geordi restore her on the weekends? I like Data's response to Geordi when he asked Data to be more optimistic. I hope we die quickly. Funny. That sounded really sarcastic. I read that out. It's not meant to be. Funny. I guess they won't be depicting the Borg Queen. Alice Krieg is now too elderly and can't exude the sex she did back in the day. This is not ageist of me, because I can't exude the sex I could back in the day either. Well,
sure you could.
Let me be the judge of that, Cat. Ding dong. Side note, the Queen was a bad concept from the get-go in First Contact. The Borg were more horrifying before because they had no ego, no queen. Shaw's death. Damn it, damn it, damn it. At least he died a hero and a good man who was finally able to use Siren's chosen name. I love Stashwick's no, 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 and his trembling hand in the scene. It just broke my heart. I really don't see how they could walk it back, but I wish they could find a way. Ha, huh, I've got your solution there. I will very much miss my salty Captain Shaw. Sorry, this is out of order. I'm too feckin' upset about Shaw, as you may guess. 4 likes out of 5. It doesn't get more likes because, you may guess, yeah, because we didn't get more 7 of 9. That's why.
I'm guessing Kat. You, can you tell that Kat's my friend? She's mentioning the death of Shaw and Lorca.
Does Kat still have it? She's saying that they're exuding sex appeal like the Borg Queen. Does Kat still have it?
She's beautiful.
There you go.
No, there we go. That's what I knew. It doesn't matter how old you are, Kat. If you've got it, you got it. And even if you don't have it, you've still got something. And then everybody's beautiful in their own way. So that's a very Star Trek message of me. Anyway, enough of me.
We've got somebody else who I think is a friend of Deb's. Gabby, celebrating discovery. And she must be replying back to something Deb says. I'm not helpful, Deb. Sorry. I had the feeling I lack the nostalgia or ship gene to appreciate the season like everybody else does. I like seeing them all together again, but some of the emotional nostalgia part doesn't affect me so much. I want to see more of Seven. And she comes back, but I love seeing the fans being so enthusiastic. Cheers for that, Gabby.
I've got Dave K. Damn, this is a hard episode to judge. Was it a wonderful piece of nostalgia which kept me grinning? Absolutely. If you scratch the surface of the plot, does the whole thing make little sense? Yes. Are the Borg the least interesting thing to be the big bad for yet another series? I think so. Am I disappointed the Changeling seem to have just been pawns? Pawns for the
Borg. It's been a cocktail of monsters, hasn't it?
Very. Does rebuilding the crashed Enterprise D make no sense? Clearly. But there was a lot to love. Jack's performance was wonderful. The moment Shaw was faced with an escape shuttle, I knew he was doomed. He had to die to atone in his mind for surviving Wolf 359. I was excited to see Shelby again. Lots of good feel-good stuff. An insane plot. 3.8 lights. P.S. Lots of great starship names, but my favourite was the USS Thunderchild. Surely a War of the Worlds reference. Oh, yes. Excellent. I missed that one.
Okay. Before we continue... Yeah. Cheers, Dave. Before we continue, there's a bit that I just remembered. Now, in the previous episodes, Jack could only control one person. And now, this episode, he controlled two. So, is his power growing? Would he be able to...
That was my reading of it.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking, by the time he's tapped into the Borg, he's been tapped into by the Borg Queen and got all the power within the Borg cube, maybe he can then just control all the Borg.
It is growing and growing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What he can do. I also remembered a point which we didn't cover, is the bit about the door. When it was closing in on the door, that was like Picard in series two, wasn't it? Opening the door about his father trying to find the truth of what happened between his mum and dad. This is Jack finding the truth about, in a way, his mum, because she claims that Jack is her son, the Borg Queen does. And the hand coming out to the door. It was so much like Picard opening the door in season two. But never mind, anyway. I'm sure there's more interesting things.
Well, I'm hoping to get more points for my Jack observation for next week when he does control the Borg.
We shall find out. Not long to wait.
It's a possibility.
Our next letter is from somebody who is going snooker loopy over this episode. It's Steve Davis, but probably not that one. Steve says, fantastic episode. I give not two hoots for any criticism of it, just being nostalgia or digging deeply for member berries. It was great. Of course, it had to be the Borg, really. They were the only baddies with the recognition wide enough to pull it off. Still, I would have preferred Pa-Wraiths, though. I really enjoyed seeing the D again and hope they somehow managed to save the day. Shelby as the Admiral was cool, wondering if they'll have Janeway swing in with Voyager at the end of the finale. I'm still blown away by the production values. It's like every episode is movie quality. I think it's a self-sacrifice from Jack that will undo the Borg threat, maybe taking Picard down with him. It's going to have to be a 5 lighter from me. Although that said, when it comes to the colour of these lighters, are they going to be yellow, green, brown, blue, pink or black?
It depends how quickly they can change the bulb.
That's very true. But yeah, definitely a 147 there from Steve Davis.
Wonderful Red Dwarf reference.
Oh, yes.
We got Drew, the wonderful, fantastic
Drew.
You're
not going to let me have a go now, are you? Just your takeover.
Darling,
I've done one for ages now.
Have you not? Did you not just do Dave Kay?
Yeah, but then there was Kat, wasn't there?
No. Then there was Steve.
Oh, okay, carry on then. I'll do Sarah. I prefer to do Sarah. Sarah's nice. So's Drew. So's Drew. Drew's lovely too.
Yeah, yeah. This is what I have to work with here, Kenny. It's horrible. Sometimes.
No, just notice anybody that's listening here. He cuts out all the bits where he sounds like a twat.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of me doing the editing, so it make me look good. Yeah. Anyway, I'm now going back to the wonderful Drew. You know, if he wants to replace any of my co-hosts next week, by all means, Drew, come on. I'll take, you know, you can replace somebody who's not sitting a few million miles away in Leicester. We've got Drew, and he says, this episode just went a bit over the line of silliness for me. So they're going to fly the D around with just them on the bridge, no one in engineering and so on, and Generation Z Borgified, so only the boomers left to save the day. But it was so good to see the D back. No, they're killed offshore. Here's hoping Borg nanites or similar can sort that out. Very enjoyable and silly in equal measures. 4 lights out of 5. Cheers for that, Drew. Go on then, you can do Sierra, darling.
Yeah, friend, very much friend and often host, Sarah Davis. I'm probably too late. You weren't, Sarah. Thanks to Kenny. I'm probably too late, but here it is anyway. Lots of love about this app, but I'm very bored with the Borg. Also, who could have guessed that networking the entire fleet might not have been the best idea? Despite this, I'm invested and now really want to know how it all ends. 3.5 lights. Thank you, Sarah.
Oh, there we go. Another positive one. And then there's only one more letter to go, and it's from Miles. And it says, Miles, episode 9. I'm assuming that's not his name. I'm assuming it's Miles talking about episode 9.
Yeah.
So it's the Borg after all. Not really too surprising, although a little disappointing, as I feel the Borg have been a little overused now and, like the Daleks, have a diminished threat as a result. Having said that, this new organic strand of Borg technology is distinctly unsettling, although the fact that it ceases to function when a character becomes old enough to return from a previous series is an interesting MacGuffin. The fact that the Borg and the changelings are now in some form of cahoots is intriguing, but ultimately won't end well for either side, methinks. And we now wait to see if the Borg Queen Jack is facing is going to be Aggie or not. The fact that we have previously heard Gates McFadden's voice leads to suspicions that perhaps she herself might play a version of the Queen, possibly. However, all of this fades into the background when compared to the beautiful, nostalgic return of the Enterprise D shortly after the F version, commanded by Admiral Shelby, no less, is launched onto our screens. The idea that Borg technology has forced our heroes to revert to an older spec tech is nice and gives a genuine reason to continue the mighty nostalgia fest we have been enjoying mightily. Very sad to see Shaw meet his untimely end, as he looked to be a shoe-in for a returning role going forward. But that is now sadly not to be.
Yes, it can. Yes,
all
it
in
can.
All, though, well, I provided the solution. None all in all, though, another delightful episode, and leads us nicely into what must surely be an almighty conclusion. What will stop the Borg? Jack, Data, some great plan of Picard's. Thankfully, we have few scant days to wait for answers, and then hope that this all leads into something similar from Paramount down the line. 4 lights out of 5 for the episode as a whole, raised to 4.75 out of 5 for the inclusion of the Enterprise D. Not 41701. I thought that would have been an obvious one to go with, but there we go.
We've got some light feedback from Davey Paul, and he says, okay, I got it half right regarding Jack. Chief O'Brien needed to diagnose the transporters. This explains the DNA in the titles. I like seeing Shelby, but would have preferred Janeway. Now, that's where I would not have liked to see Janeway, especially if Shelby was killed off there. They're going to bring Janeway back and just to have her be killed off. So, no, I'll agree with you there, David Paul. And once again, a chilling, well-executed cliffhanger and fantastic performances. 4.5 out of 5. Cheers for that, Davey. Now, we've also got 2 pieces of audio feedback. And the first one is from Darren Pickles.
Wow, what an episode. I was amazed to see Admiral Shelby, but I was very annoyed that they killed her off almost straight away, just like they did with Roll Aaron. The Borg's reveal as the big bad behind Jack's Red Door was not a huge surprise, as you all had speculated on it being them. But it was surprising to hear Alice Creek's voice talk about playing the long game. I saw some ship names that I recognised when the crew were looking at the USS Excelsior being destroyed on the computer readout. They were named after Star Trek characters and behind the scenes staff from TNG and DS9 and the movie era of Star Trek. I saw the USS Hikaru Sulu named after the captain of the Excelsior. Oh my! I saw the USS Cochrane named after Zephyrin Cochrane. I also saw the USS Okuda and the USS Drexler, named after the graphic designers Michael and Denise Okuda and Doug Drexler, and the USS Trumbull, named after special effects legend Douglas Trumbull, who had provided the special effects for Star Trek The Motion Picture. I was sad and disappointed about Captain Shaw's death. It was such a meaningless death. It was good that he finally called Seven by her proper name. It was lovely to see the Enterprise D. Geordi had thankfully restored it back to the TV version of the bridge, rather than the weird so-called upgraded version that we saw in the film Generations. It was nice to hear that they brought back Major Barrett Roddenberry's Enterprise D computer voice, and to see them all back in their places on the bridge, and Picard saying, "Engage." Yet again, 5 lights out of 5.
Cheers for that, Darren. And our second piece of audio feedback is from Steve Atcher from the Hoover's Doctor Who group.
Hello, I'm Stephen Hatcher from the Hoover's Doctor Who group, and here are my thoughts on Star Trek Picard Season 3, Episode 8, Vox. Well, everything is coming to a head as we reach Frontier Day, with all of Starfleet gathered in one place and about to show off their new gadget that allows all the ships in the fleet to be controlled from one centre. They really are full of dreadful ideas, this lot. Well, Deanna is horrified by what lurks beyond Jack's red door. It's the Borg! She explains to Jean-Luc that what his son has inherited from him is that he's some sort of Borg hybrid. Something was left in Jean-Luc from when he was assimilated and turned into Locutus. Hence all his special powers. For the safety of everyone, Jack has to be isolated in a Vulcan Institute where he can be sorted out, but he's not at all happy with that idea, and all the bonding that's gone on between him and Picard goes out the window. That's all over. Off he goes in a strop and a shuttlecraft, and links up with the Borg Queen, and is properly assimilated as Vox, the voice of the Borg. But that's not the worst of the crew of the Titan's problems. Data and Geordi discover that some Borgy genetic nastiness has been introduced into the whole of Starfleet's transporter systems. Everyone under 25 has been sneakily assimilated for months. Off they head to Earth for the celebrations, just in time to warn Admiral Shelby mid-self-congratulatory speech. She's done well for herself since the Best of Both Worlds, but not in time to stop the Borg assimilating the whole of Starfleet's younger members, and via the new system, taking over every ship in the fleet. On board the Titan, the assimilated youngsters, including both LaForge girls, take over. Air heroes, being too long in the tooth to be bothered by all of that, make a run for it. Under fire, Shaw stays behind to give cover for air heroes to make it to a shuttle. But he's hit and gently, mortally wounded. Relinquishing command of the ship to Seven, whom he calls by her true name for the first time with his dying breath. Well, if he had to die, it's a satisfying death for this terrific character. But it's such a pity we won't see any more of him. The producers must be kicking themselves at their decision to kill him off when the possibilities, and indeed the demand, for a Shaw-led spin-off series appeared to be great. Ah well, it'll have to be a Shaw prequel then. Todd Stashwick, as Liam Shaw, has been one of the very best things about this great series. I really do hope we haven't seen the last of either the character or the actor. So with Seven and Raffi staying behind to carry on the fight, the TNG gang head off. But they cannot fight the whole of the fleet assimilated by the Borg in a shuttle. They'll need a ship, and an old one too, to avoid the new control system. So it's just as well that Geordi has had a hobby, a little project all of his own these last few years. He's carefully reconstructed the Enterprise D in a shed at the bottom of his garden, presumably, at the museum. Everyone takes a moment to wipe away a tear and smile at each other in another of those sentimental moments that I complained about last week. Oh well, I suppose that's an integral part of TNG. Well, says Geordi enigmatically, we could hardly use the Enterprise Z, could we? At which Worf looks shifty and declares, that was not my fault. I wonder if we'll be told that story one day. And with a hearty engage, our heroes head off back to take on the Borg. Once more, not so much to say other than what a wonderful episode, which sets everything up terrifically for next week's finale. One thing does bother me, though. If I remembered it wrongly, somebody put me right. Or at the end of Picard Season 2, did we not have the new Borg Queen, in the form of Picard's friend Agnes Jurati, promise that the naughty cyborgs would mend their ways from now on, behave themselves, and play nicely? And didn't she even suggest the Borg might apply to join the Federation? Has all this been forgotten, though? This certainly isn't Queen Agnes that was assimilating Jack. Maybe, just maybe, all will be revealed next week. And I'm going to end with the same words again. I can hardly wait.
Cheers for that there, Steve.
I like Steve. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
If you look at our Twitter account as well, you may see a lovely piece of fan art that Andrea did recently. So we've retweeted it, and it's... Nyota Uhuru. So it's rather beautiful. So have a look and send some love because it's gorgeous.
Suki,
we do have talents within our group.
Yeah, there's some amazing people there. Very, very talented. I did notice when I flicked through the Twitter feed earlier. But Suki, I suppose I better say, ahead of episode 10, no doubt be looking for feedback next week. So where should people get in touch with you via?
Oh, you can get in touch with us on Twitter, on Trek This Out Pod, and that's mainly our main source of feedback. So, but if you want to be really spoilery, which we do encourage, because a lot of people don't actually see the episode until a bit later on, you can just send us as a DM to us, which we'll read out, as it says, on the podcast.
I've opened our DM so anybody can DM us at the moment. And thank you so much for the feedback, because we're rubbish without you.
Well, that's where I get all my points from. Right, that's why I'm winning. Anyway, thanks. I woke up this morning, put on my red
shirt. Oh. Right, okay, well, it's that time again. It's red shirt of the week. I've got my phaser and it's not on stun. And I'm aiming it in the direction of Sugi, because he's my pal, and I know that I don't want to get into trouble, and I'd quite like to come back, so he's getting red-shirted.
You're red-shirting me? Right, okay.
Yes.
I'll get the wrong voice. Right, so, Deb, you want to do your red-shirt?
No question, is it, Sugi?
Jeez. I'm going to be red-shirting Kenny. Only on behalf of all of us having to stay up later than our bedtime, right? Just because we have to get our beauty sleep in for tomorrow, and you're making us stay up. So Kenny is my red shirt this week. That leaves Andrea.
Well, I kind of want a red shirt John, because I've forgotten how much you went on about Naomi bloody Wildman, and I feel like if you're going to red shirt someone, that is an awesome reason. But I'm gonna have to go with the majority here, because I just knew that Sookie was gonna be so pleased with himself, like that he was right. So I think I'm just gonna go with the flow on that one. But John was in his absence was a good second choice, I feel.
Yeah, so this is the first time Deb hasn't had a vote given to her by anybody in a while. Well done, Deb. Well done. And this is the first time I've been redshirted in an episode for a while as well, because I've been really, really good.
I didn't want to insult Andrea and Deb, because I don't really know them. So I thought, I know you can handle it. I've heard the abuse you get around the corner.
I'll be crying in my wife's arms in a bit now because of you. just terrible.
Right, I've been crying to watch the season with Liverpool.
How are we going to kill him? Yes, it could be assimilated by a group of Everton supporters.
No, no.
Could be chucked in the new dock, the dock where the stadium is.
No.
I feel like he has to be the new cleaner on the Borg cube until like he just like comes to his natural end, like picking all those like bits of pipe and stuff up. It's a big place.
This is unusually cruel this week for some reason. I just don't understand it.
No.
Okay, that's okay. I'll go with I'm not having anything Everton or football related, so I'll definitely go with the Borg stuff. I don't mind cleaning until my flesh actually comes off my bones.
Well, that's been episode 9 of Star Trek Picard. I've been Kenny Smith. I've been your guest host this week. As I've said, I know naff all about Star Trek, but I've absolutely enjoyed myself. And we shall see.
Before you carry on, how did you find the episode? How did you find recording with us?
That's been a joy, hasn't it? Apart from my initial troubles with Skype, because I so rarely use it. But I loved it. It's been good fun. In fact, that my amateurish enthusiasm with your slightly more professional approach proves that I actually can judge what a decent Star Trek episode is.
Okay. See, the way you said amateur professionalism, we've been saying for the last few weeks, I mean, if you saw on the faces of the two ladies on the screen there, we are not professional. We are very, very amateur on this podcast. But and I know how good you are, Kenny, because I've listened to all your podcasts. Power of Three, the eight Pieces of Eight. I listened to all them. So I know how good you are, and I know what you did at Christmas. This lad, by the way, ladies, put out a podcast a day for the whole of December with a co-host, where they interviewed people, they reviewed stuff, and it was a monumental thing that he did, and he was a joy to listen to because he was all on the Eighth Doctor and all his books and the books.
Wow.
And he did it fantastic, and I just think he was great what he did. But I think he hasn't put out a piece of the Eighth podcast since, I think.
No, we've actually got some... We'll hopefully get some recorded week after next before my co-host gives birth at the end of May. So we're going to try and get everything recorded. We've got 12 or 13 episodes to try and record in the space of probably about 2 weeks. So that's going to be fun.
Wow. And she's giving birth at the end of May. What are you trying to put through poor Rebecca? Eh?
I know. It wasn't. Can I just clarify? The baby is not mine. yes. She's going to pop then. So she's looking very, very pregnant. If you haven't seen her, she's Rebecca Geek Out on the Twitters. And it's very, 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 very pregnant. But very lovely. She's glowing.
All right. Thank you, Kenny. Do you want to talk about that, Mike?
Thanks very much for having me. It's been an absolute joy. I've been Kenny Smith. You can, if you're interested, you can find me on Twitter. I never tweet about Star Trek, apart from the odd mention of Picard, at Finished Zine, FinishedZine. And I suppose better let everybody else say goodbye, because much as I'd love it to be all about me, it really isn't.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Lighters. Right, now I'm going to stop recording. Andrea, if you want to shoot off, unless you want to read out one before you go.
I'd better go and put my teeth in the jar, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure how I'm going to cope with the 6 o'clock alarm tomorrow. There hasn't been one for a fortnight, and it's going to be painful.
For what it's worth, I'll be up at 6:30 because I'm out for my run then. So.
Well, that's just nuts. Trying to get
my 5 miles before work, so.
That's just weird.
I tap ass today, and I'm feeling quite from it today, so I'm looking forward to trying running some of it off tomorrow morning.
Very good.
Oh shit, it's just gone out of my head. Oh bollocks, it's gone out of my head. Carry on.
Minus several trillion points to Suki.